This coming Shabbos is going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Emor, which is, of course, very near and dear to me personally. The Parsha begins with the instructions concerning the Kohen, and the Torah begins by telling us that the Kohen has a responsibility to stay Kadosh. He has a responsibility not to become Tamei Meis for his relatives when they die. The Torah tells us, he's allowed to become Tamei for his relatives, including his sister, who never got married, Lo Yitama, he shall become Tamei for her. And why, the Gemara asks, why does he have a responsibility? So the Gemara suggests that this is part of the mitzvah of Kavod HaBrios. Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shachter Shalita explains that this applies, the concept of Kavod HaBrios, that is, still applies even after the death of a Jew. Even after the Kedushas Yisrael has left the body still has the status and the responsibility towards Kavod HaBrios. And the Meiri, Rav Shachter would add to us, in his introduction to Shas, quotes a Medrash who notes that there is a parallel between the different Dibros. If we look at the Dibros, the way we tend to put them up, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on one side, and 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 on the other, which means that there's a parallel between 1 and 6, 2 and 7, 3 and 8, 4 and 9, and 5 and 10. And so Rav Shachter would also quote to us from that Meiri, who points out that the connection between Anochi and Lo Sirtzach on the Luchos is one of Kavod HaBrios. In the way that one doesn't kill, it's a question of Kavod HaBrios. The Kavod HaBrios sometimes has a responsibility to realize that the Bria gets the creation is a creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so therefore, obviously, you can't check it, but also at the same time, it highlights for us the responsibility to show respect for it because it is a respect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Shachter would use this at times to remind us that Kavod HaBrios lets us violate the mitzvah in the Torah. But when the Kavod HaBrios lets us violate a mitzvah in the Torah, like Lo Yitama, it doesn't mean that the Kavod HaBrios means that we can just haphazardly do so. It's like, for instance, I can't just decide to not keep a mitzvah because I'm going to be embarrassed about being Jewish. The Kavod HaBrios means having the basic human dignity that a human being is entitled to. That's Kavod HaBrios, not that I'll be embarrassed. Moshe Feinstein also comments in regard to certain issues of Tumas Nida that the fact that a woman is going to be embarrassed, that's not a reason for a person to all of a sudden not have to keep our chakos. That's not the rules. The rules don't allow us to violate. That's not a question of Kavod HaBrios. Kavod HaBrios means that the person's going to lose the whole tzura of what it means to be a basic human dignity. There the question of Kavod HaBrios comes into play. The Torah tells us that afterwards, we have a responsibility to seek Kedusha, right? And in regard to that regard, the Torah teaches us, Velo sechalalu Hashem kachi, you shall not create a chilul Hashem, v'niknashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. I will have Kedusha, I will be sanctified within the camp of Am Yisrael. The author of the Torah Zev, in his introduction to Masechta Zvachim, which happens to be that which we are studying in the Daf Hayomi right now, Rav Zev Chichik, so he comments that the proper way to create a Kiddush Hashem is identified in a tefillah that we say every day. Every morning we daven and we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kadesh Hashimcha Amakdishei Shemecha, that God, you should sanctify your name by those who sanctify themselves by your name. In other words, says Rev Chechek, in other words, those who really believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and hang on to Hashem, even when the natural means of hanging on seems impossible, are those who really create Kiddush Hashem. When we live our lives in such a way that we make sure to seek out the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of us every single day, He's watching over us every single day, when that comes into play, we are creating a Kiddush Hashem. It's the strong beliefs of the Makdishei Shemecha that helps make the greater Kiddush Hashem. It's the absolute hispatlus, the absolute understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does have that role. That's what creates the Kiddush Hashem. After discussing the Mume Kohen Gadol, the Mume and the responsibilities of a Kohen Gadol, of which, by the way, the Daf Hayomi spent a lot of time this week focusing on in Masechta Zvachim, The Gemara, the Parsha then turns for a bulk of it to focus on the different aspects of Moadei Hashem, of the times of the year that are sanctified, moving from the people who are sanctified, and by the way, parenthetically, the Torah spends time on the animals that are sanctified, then the Torah comes back and talks about time that's sanctified. Moadei Hashem Asher Tukru Osam Mikrei Kodesh. And of course, since this is that time of year, let's focus a minute on the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, Usfartem Lachem Imacharas HaShabbos, that you should count for yourselves. And there's a well-known Hasidic and Musar idea. It's Hasidish, and it finds itself basis in the Chidushei Arim. And in the Musar idea, we find it mentioned by Rav Elia Lapian in the Sefer Lev Eliyahu, both of whom identify that the 49 days of the Omer parallel to the Mem Ches Drachim, the 48 paths to wisdom mentioned in the sixth parak of Birkei Avos. Happens to be a very close friend of mine, Rav David Gottlieb, Shalita, of Yeshivat Har Etzion, as well as the wonderful world of the community in Beit Shemesh. Rav David is in the middle of a series of shiurim on the 48 ways. They're worthwhile and they're terrific. So if you have spare time and you really want to listen to somebody good talk about the 48 ways, Rav David is one of the great people to learn from. Still, getting back to the 48 ways, it should just be pointed out that the parallel of 48 to the 49 days of the Omer, it's kind of off by one. And although Marna Rav Tait Shalita here in Elizabeth is very fond of the what he calls the finagle factor, it's still difficult to understand how 48 ways parallel to 49. Both Hasidic and Musar masters respond that the last day of the days is the day for review. So in other words, you're supposed to have 48 ways to be Kohen Torah, and the 49th way is the 48 ways in review. That seems a little bit contrived, if you ask me. So Rav Asher, wise Shalita, pointed out that it's not contrived. Divrei Torah, not like every other science, that needs only the mastery of the intellectual. When a person happens to be a person who studies any particular science, so when the final comes, you take the reading week, and you review, and you go over it again, and again, and again, and again. But Divrei Torah don't work that way. Divrei Torah don't just need the mastery of the intellectual. Rather, Divrei Torah require one to put his whole heart and soul into it. And to put your whole heart and soul into something means to go over 48 ways, not just to know what they are, but to be able to live them. No one greater than Moshe Rabbeinu needed to daven and review in order not to forget Torah. It's not because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't possess the intellectual capability of understanding it. The status of reviewing it and the 48 ways that lead to Kenyan Torah make our path to Torah commitment strong. And so it's not a force, says Rav Asher Weiss, to understand that we need a day to review the 10. That's part of the 49. Then we turn to Yom HaKippurim, and we say, Ach be'asor lachodesh ha'shvi'a ze Yom HaKippurim hu mikra kodesh yeh lachem. The fact of the matter is that when we identify Yom HaKippurim, we use the word Ach. Ach usually is a limitation. So what's Ach over here? So Rashi explains that this day is the day that atones for those who want to be shav, but those who don't want to do tshuva don't have the ability to exist and achieve from Yom HaKippurim. So Mordechai Gifter Zatzal, the late great Talz of Rosh Yeshiva, points out that that aspect of the day it should not be discussed here in Parashas Emor. It should have been discussed last week in Parashas Achrimos, where we talk about Ki Vayom Hazeh Yechaper Aleichem L'Tarashem Mikol Chatoseichem. So Ibn Ezra suggests that the day is a day of limitation of simcha and oneg, of the physical joy. Ach, Be'asor Lachodesh means that this is not a standard style of Yantif where you have simcha and oneg in the physical way. Instead, the simcha of Yom HaKippurim is a spiritual joy, and maybe that's the intention over here. Rav Gifter Zatzal added that lest one think this day therefore becomes a day of spiritual burden. It's not so. Yom Kippur is the day for our spiritual need and our spiritual benefit. Sometimes in life, especially nowadays, we tend to focus on what we're getting out of it. That's not the way we necessarily need to stop. Sometimes we get things even when they're just spiritual. And we need that because the spiritual translates into meaning and purpose in our lives. And sometimes we need to work on that as well. Then we turn to the Chag of Sukkos. And we're told, "Ulukachtem lachem b'yom arishon," that you should take for yourselves on the first day, Pri'etz Adar, to take all the dalet minim. And what are you supposed to do? "Usmachtem lifnei Hashem alokeichem shebas yamim," that you should rejoice with them in front of Hashem. Now, how does one know when a simcha is positive and within the boundaries of halacha, and when it's dangerous to shmiras hamitzvos and the ratzon Hashem? Sometimes it's a wonderful thing to be b'simcha. Mitzvah gedol olios b'simcha tamid. On the other hand, we find that when we identify the simcha, we are told v'gilu bira'ada. So the chief rabbi, Rav David Lau Shalita, suggested that when we look to the Arba Minim, we may get a hint. On the one hand, the lulav and the other three minim remind us of the harvest. They do come from that which is harvested, and there's simcha in the plentiful bounty. But at the same time, they're a reminder of the need to have a concept of din on the winds and on the rains of the upcoming season. There's a parallel between din and simcha. And Rabbi Lau explained that adding to the rejoicing requires a parallel addition to the recognition that there's something and someone greater to look to. When we can do both, we have our concepts of simcha correct. When it's v'gilu bira'ada, when there's a sense of simcha, but it's a simcha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we're going to rejoice. If it's ul hanos kreso, if it's just the simcha of our own stomachs, so then we're going to be lost. So suggests the chief rabbi, and I think very, very properly so. Towards the end of the parasha, we read about the Megadif, the one who cursed Hashem. And we're told that after he cursed Hashem, they place him by Anichu Bamishmar. Torah tells us that they put him in the prison. And Rashi comments that he was kept separate from the Mekoshesh. They put him in a prison separate from the one who was involved in the Chilul Shabbos. And why indeed were they not placed together? So the Sefer Ikrei Erev notes that while they didn't know what to do with the Megadif, they knew that the Mekoshes was supposed to receive the death penalty. They just wanted to know which of the four Misos based in were they supposed to give him. And in order not to be cruel to the Megadif by putting him on death row, Moshe Rabbeinu realized that he had to separate him from the Mekoshes. So Rabbi Sachar, Franz Shlita, the Rosh Hashiva in Baltimore, adds that we need to be impacted by the sensitivity displayed here when we consider that the Megadif was a person who committed the reprehensible sin of cursing Hashem. He got no pleasure out of that, and it showed it. He just frankly wanted to rebel against Hashem. So if the Torah shows so much concern for the psychological welfare of a person who doesn't care about Hashem, how much more so must we be considerate and understanding to the feelings of every Jew with whom we interact? Finally, the Torah goes back and gives us a whole bunch of mitzvos bein adam lechavero, right? And the Torah says, "V'ish ki yitein mum b'miso kasher asa kenye yaselo." When a person places a blemish b'miso, right, when he puts a blemish into his friend. So the Chovos HaLevavos explains, when it comes to the Yom HaDin, we will come to hear many things that we're going to be rewarded for, and we will discover that many of the things we'll be rewarded for we didn't do. Similarly, says the author of the Chovos HaLevavos, there are the things that we did do and will not receive reward for. In both cases, the Chovos HaLevavos explains that it's going to be because we either did things to denigrate our fellow man, or we were the victims of those who did it to us. And if that is the case, the one who perpetrates the crime surrenders his zechusim to the victim. So we will get credit for things we didn't do because somebody else did it, and when they denigrated us in the process, their zechusim wound up coming over to us, and we will lose zechusim for things we did because we denigrated somebody else. So Rav Scheinemann explained that this is seen in our pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ishkar sheyitein mum b'miso." When a person places a mum in the amius, in the character of his neighbor, kasher asa, that which he did, kenye asalo, right? That which you did. When you put that mum into that person, became kenye asalo, it became that which he came. And the zechus, in other words, he said, the zechusim move, and we wind up impoverished in the process. We have to be so careful about those things. And that only hurts him, it hurts us in the long run as well. The Haftorah in Yechezkel, which also plays a strong role in this week's Daf Hayomi, the Haftorah comes ahead and tells us all about the different dinim of the Kohen. Vesami Oru, Ben Kodesh Lachom, Ben Tamele Tahor Yodiyam, Vyariv, Ashrahima Yamdu Lumishpat, Ben Mishpatay Yishpatuhu. They are supposed to instruct the people between that which is holy and that which is ordinary. And they're supposed to tell them the difference between Tame and Tahor. They're supposed to judge the people accordingly. It's the late great, the former Mashgiach of Karen Biavne, Rav Avram Rivlin Shlita, often stressed that the primary role of the Shevet Levi was not in the service part of the job, but rather in the role of serving as role models of Kedusha, means of serving as inspiration for the people in their lives to aspire for. That is to say, you were able to look up to a Kohen, to the tribe of Levi, and you were able to say, that's where I'm aspiring for. And that calling already began in Mitzrayim, where Shevet Levi was offered a distinct status. It even existed in the name of Levi, which is Hapam Yilave Ishti Eli. We're supposed to go ahead and in the same way that Leah wanted to bring people close, that is the essence of what Levi is about. It's about bringing people close. And if we can manage to take the lessons of Yechezkel, and we can learn the job and try to be like the Shevet Levi, we will not only be closer to one another, instead of setting up mishpatim between us, we will be closer as a nation to Avinu Shabbat Shamayim, and in that regard, get to the Yom Shekulo Shabbos Umenucha, where the Kohanim will return to their place, and the Levim to the Duchan, and we will be returned Lindeveim, and we will have the opportunity to experience Yom Shekulo Shabbos Umenucha L'chaya Olamim, a Shabbat Shalom to all.